بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. Last week we discussed a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we had explained the incident that had taken place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some ulama and commentators have mentioned that this took place just a few months before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was right in the end part of his life, the latter part of his life, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated with the Sahaba, and suddenly there appears a person, إِذْ طَلَى عَلَيْنَا رَجُلٌ, a man comes dressed in white clothing, there's no stains on his clothing, his hair is not disheveled, there's no dust covering his body, there are no creases found on his clothes, there were no signs of him being a traveler, nor was he a resident of Medina, and that had astonished the Sahaba, that who is this person? Looked at each other, tried to see if somebody recognizes him as being his neighbor or a resident of Medina. Nobody knew him, but he comes into the masjid, comes directly in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we mentioned the manner in which he sat in at-tahiyyat position, and his knees touch the knees of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he placed his hands either on his own laps or on the laps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba watching this very strange incident, and more astonishing was the fact that then he questions Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asks him, Mal Islam, what is Islam? And Rasulullah explained, Anta shahada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the declaration of the shahada, wa iqama as-salah wa ita az-zakah wa tasum ramadan wa tahujj al-bayt, the five pillars of Islam was given. And then this person says, sadaqta, yes, what you have said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is true. فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُهُ, we were astonished that this man asked a question. We thought he was somebody who came and who does not know something about Islam, and therefore he is asking what is Islam all about. And when Rasulullah gives the answer, then he would have understood this and gone away. But he, in response to the answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, yes, you have spoken the truth. So we were astonished. And then the second question, مَا الْإِيمَانِ أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. Rasulullah explained what is Iman. Believing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels, all the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His messengers, the day of Qiyamah in Taqdeer. And again this person said, what you have said is the truth. And then he asked, مَا الْإِحْسَانِ, we discuss الْإِحْسَانِ. And he said that this was the third level of deen. First level is Islam. The practices of salat, of zakat, of hajj, the rituals. And then is iman. This deep inner belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believing wholeheartedly in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the angels, in the divine books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. And then comes the third state of ihsan. And ihsan means, in Arabic, come from the word husn, which means beauty. Therefore, ihsan means to beautify something, to make something look very good in appearance, to make something excellent. So what was the meaning of ihsan? أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. You have that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that level in your ibadat, and I explain not only salat, in all our ibadat, that level of consciousness as though you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And they said, a slave who is watching his master and who is carrying out his duty in front of his master. The master is watching and he is doing this in front of his master and he can see his master. The slave can see his master sitting in front of him, observing every action of his and every deed of his. Then how perfectly he will carry out his injunctions and his duties. So this consciousness of that level, and تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى, and we explain كَأَنَّكَ أَزْدُو. In this dunya we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With these eyes of ours we can never see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارِ. Eyes cannot perceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. Allah watches every person. But in the akhirah, in Jannah, this ulama see the كَأَنَّكَ, the kaf falls off. أَنَّكَ تَرَى, verily you will see Allah in the akhirat. So this Allah consciousness is as though you are seeing Allah, your master, when you are carrying out your ibadat. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. This far ulama explained, this is for ta'adil. Because if you are not having this level of consciousness, that it is as though you are seeing Allah, remember at all times, Allah is still watching you. So whether you are having this consciousness, whether you have experienced this feeling or not, Allah is still watching you. So if Allah is watching you, if Allah is watching you, then a person ought to now carry out his Allah's commands correctly. The first part, it is as though you are watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I gave the example, a person goes to the supermarket, there's a camera, you are being watched. But although you are not seeing the person watching you, but it is as though you are seeing him moving around with you, and therefore you don't put things in the trolley as though you're a rogue or some or thief. And you make sure, by mistakely also, you don't put something in the pocket. If you've got a child, you make sure the child hasn't put something in the pocket. Because it is as though you're watching this, the person watching you. This means Allah consciousness. This level of Allah consciousness. Where if a person has this, then he beautifies his salat. He beautifies his zakat. He beautifies his hajj. His fasting. When we don't have this level of ihsan in our salat, then we will find ourselves unconscious. Unconscious meaning not conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore our mind, our thoughts will waver around. Then it will just be actions that we are carrying out. Mal Islam, tashhada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah wa iqam as-salah. We just be performing our salah. But the effect of the salat, we will not be enjoying. What is the effect of salat? Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar wa la dhikrullahi akbar. Such a great dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salat. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. It has that power, that effect, that a person who reads his 2 rakat salah, or 4 rakat salah, or whatever amount of rakats, when he performs his salah, the effect of that salah, the salah is so powerful that it should stop a person from evil, from haram, from those acts which are indecent, which are abhorred in Sharia. Now we find ourselves making salat, but after salah we still indulge in haram actions. We still indulge in obscene actions. So what is the meaning of the ayat? The ayat is 100% Allah's words. Salat has that effect. So when we introspect our salat, we find that our salat lacks that quality of ihsan in it. A person was just going up and down, but he was not conscious. He didn't feel as though he's seeing his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not sure if I mentioned last week, Hazrat Haritha radiallahu ta'ala's incident.
that when he was sleeping in the masjid and Rasulullah ﷺ happens to go there and wakes him up. كيف أصبحت يا حارثة؟ Haritha, tell me, how are you feeling this morning? We would have said, Alhamdulillah, Allah shukr, I'm feeling well. Tabiat is good, feeling healthy today. Haritha radiallahu ta'ala says, Asbahtu ya Rasulallahi mu'minan haqqan. Oh Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have risen this morning as a true, genuine believer. Mu'minan haqqan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him a question. Haritha لكل قول حقيقة وما حقيقة قولك. For every claim a person makes, there must be some dalil. There must be some proof. You have made a claim that you're a pakka mu'min. Now what's your dalil? What's your proof? He says, Ya Rasulullah, حذفت نفسي عن الدنيا. I've detached myself from the dunya. وأضمأت نهاري. The entire day I am keeping roza, I am thirsty. All this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At night I indulge in ibadat. He says, now, listen very carefully, كأني أنظر إلى عرش ربي. It is as though I can see the arsh of my Allah in front of me. Can you imagine the level of ihsan in this sahabi's life? He's not making any story. No fabrication. Something which is genuine coming out of his heart. And he's telling this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no question of any tasannu', any making something up. There was no pretense in his words. He was genuine, he was sincere. كأني أنظر إلى عرش ربي. It is as though I can see my Allah's arsh in front of me. It is as though I can see the people in Jannah, the inmates of Jannah, enjoying the bounties of Jannah. And it is as though I can see the people of Jahannam shrieking and yelling and screaming out of pain. Rasulullah ﷺ tells him, hold on to this. إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ نَوَّرَ اللَّهُ قَلْبًا. You are such a person whose heart Allah has illuminated. Now this is the effect of having ihsan in a person's life. When we have this level, this Allah consciousness, we then begin to beautify our salat and our ibadat. Then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminates our heart. Allah brightens this heart. And when this heart brightens, then we are given hidayat. Then the way towards Allah becomes so easy, so beautiful. All those obstacles, those hurdles suddenly just move away. And there's only enjoyment now in seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything and everything linked to Allah, person derives enjoyment, pleasure. Anything ghairullah, anything besides Allah, he doesn't find any pleasure in it. He remains aloof from all those things which are ghairullah. And this is the meaning of Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi Shaykh, Hal tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. We mentioned this in our dhikr. What is the meaning? Har tamanna. Every desire. Dil se rukhsat ho gayi. It has left my heart. There's no more those desires of anything else now in my heart. Now it's just me and you, oh Allah. You and I. Now I've got the solitude, Ya Allah. It's just me and you. Ya Allah, I want you to come into my heart. No other tamanna. So if we beautify our salat with having this Allah consciousness that as though we are seeing Allah. Imagine going to sajda and as though you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shahab Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah Ali, you see, oh, that when I go in sajda, I can feel the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine when they would make zikr and take the name Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us this maqam of ihsan, the sifat of ihsan. This is part of our deen. Islam, Iman, and the third level is ihsan. When the person gives sadaqat, then to this ihsan, the kayfiyat of ihsan, the maqam of ihsan, that when he discharges zakat or sadaqat when he gives,
then too he is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he gives this sadaqat, charity, or he helps any poor person, whoever it is, whatever cause he's giving, then he does not remind that person of the favor he has done to that person. He does it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore ulama have mentioned that ihsan equals ikhlas. Some ulama have said, what is ihsan? Ihsan is ikhlas. That means a person does something solely for the pleasure of Allah, for no other motive. He's got no ulterior motive. So if a person assisted another person, poor person, whoever it may be, he doesn't go back to the person and reminds him, nor does he seek a favor in return. How often we have given some person, some workers of ours, some money, whatever it is, and after some time we ask the person to carry out some duties. Now we say, mare sharam, out of embarrassment, the person will go and do those duties for us because now we just helped him. And we expect the person. So if the moment he resists from doing it, we look at him, hey, bye, I won't help you again. Now the person needs help, so he goes and he carries out the duty. This is not correct. This type of sadaqat lacks ihsan in it. Lacks ikhlas. It wasn't done solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi had given a person a loan. Now it was a hot day and he's walking from the masjid to wherever he had to go. So the shops had a canopy, a covering to shelter people as they would walk outside on the pavement. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah was walking with his friends. Suddenly there comes one person's shop. Imam Sahib stops. He goes across, walks in this heat, comes back on the other side, comes back to the pavement, and then he continues walking. So the people asked him, Hazrat, what have you have done something very strange. That why didn't you walk under this canopy, under this shelter and covering? Then Imam Sahib rahmatullah said, I had given this person a loan, and I did not wish to derive any benefit whatsoever from the loan I had given him. Even the shelter also, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah's taqwa was of that level that he felt it not correct to even benefit in the least bit even from any person who he had done some favor upon. Okay, we don't have to have that type of taqwa and do that. But we tend to give a person a loan and then we expect some favor in return. Now this lacks ihsan. Person goes for hajj. You meet the person. All he wants to brag about is, mashallah, how quickly he finished his umrah or his tawaf and how he did it in the heat. Hot before Zohar and after Zohar I did it. Allah yubarik fiqh. Allah give barakah. Allah accept it, mashallah. So what if you did it that day? Where is the ikhlas? What if the person gives, mentions some certain things out of tahdith of ni'mat, out of to give targheeb to others so that they may also bring this into their lives? Now that is something else. As long as a person has ikhlas, he does not do it out of ujub and vanity, there's no pride in his saying or his statement, solely out of thanking and expressing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever ni'mat Allah has given him, he makes shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's something else. So in all our a'mal, our i'tikaf, there must be ihsan in it. One of our mashayikh had mentioned, in some country he went an i'tikaf, so he went last 10 days, he went around there. He wasn't making i'tikaf, he went for nafil, he had some program. And then he sees suddenly, kunchas and kunchas, he says, trays coming, trays of food. He says, ye kya hai? So that person says, Hazrat, yahan to mashallah, fulan ghar se aur wahan, fulan ghar se, rozana, itna khana aata hai. We get such food from this person's house and that person is, come and join us. He says, hours went by and the people in i'tikaf are busy enjoying that food. What ibadah they made. Now these are things for us to bring into our lives. Something we tend to forget or neglect. In our tilawat of the Quran, raise our mind. We're busy, all of us, many of us are guilty of it. We're busy reading Quran, suddenly the phone vibrates in our pocket and then we take it out and now we're busy talking to somebody and the Quran is open. You were busy communicating with your Allah. You were praising your Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawmiddin. And suddenly, you are talking to somebody else. You broke off that communication with your Allah. Yes, it is an urgent need, something else. Where is the azmat of Quran and Majid? Why? Because we lack sifat of ihsan. We are not beautifying our recitation. There is no adab, etiquette that we are bringing in mind. We are not beautifying this action of ours. So this is the meaning of ihsan. This Allah consciousness a person ought to have. As though he is seeing Allah. Because whether he gets this feeling or not, Allah is still watching him. So at least this much shu'ur a person should have. That Allah is watching him. And if Allah is watching, then we should make sure we do that action in the most perfect manner. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, Mata sa'ah? When is Qiyamah? In other words, the maqsad, the aim of this particular question was, tell me exactly when Qiyamah will take place. In the most eloquent manner, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave such an answer that closes the doors for every person to come and gives him no permission to probe into when Qiyamah is going to take place, the exact date. Rasulullah said, "Mal mas'ulu anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il." The one who has been questioned, he is mas'ul in Arabic. The one who has been asked the question knows no better than the one who is asking the question. In other words, Jibreel, you don't know and I don't know. Both of us don't know. We don't know when Qiyamah is going to take place. Allah mentions in the Quran in various surahs, various ayat. قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. It is the knowledge of Qiyamah. The year, the month, the week, the date, the day, the time. Only Allah knows. So, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّعِيلِ. The one who has been asked knows not more than the one who is asking. You don't know, you do not know the answer, I too do not know the answer. So then the question was asked, what is the amarat, the signs of Qiyamah? What are the signs of Qiyamah? Now in many other ahadith, various signs were given. We have what is called the major signs of Qiyamah and the minor signs of Qiyamah. In this particular hadith and incident, Rasulullah just gives two minor signs of Qiyamah. Major signs in many other ahadith he gave, for example, the coming of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the appearance of Dajjal, the coming of Hazrat Mahdi alayhi salam, the Nuzul, the descent of Isa alayhi salatu salam, and how he will kill Dajjal, the rising of the sun from the west. So these are signs, there are 10 signs, major signs, inshallah, if Allah gives us tawfiq, we will discuss all these major signs, which is very, very interesting subject. But that will take some time, inshallah. And there are many ahadith which mentions minor signs of Qiyamah. And this particular hadith, only two have been mentioned, and we'll just discuss the two in terminate, inshallah. Rasulullah says, أَن تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. That a slave girl will give birth to her mistress. We don't see slavery today, but there was a time when slavery took place.
And before Qiyamah, according to many ahadith, it will come back into practice.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a slave girl, a slave woman, will give birth to her mistress.
Now what is the meaning of this hadith? Commentators, ulama, and fuqaha, and muhaddiseen have mentioned various explanations. The simple explanation that most of them have given is that there will be many wars that will take place before Qiyamah. Many wars that will take place. And when wars will take place, people will be taken as captives. They'll be treated as slaves. And then there'll be the buying and selling of slaves. So for argument's sake, if there's a war that takes place in this country A, people are taken as prisoners, as captives, and they're taken away to another far country. They are used as slaves in that place. Then there is this market where they are being sold. And years go by, and this person from this country happens to go there after some time when there's peace. And he purchases a slave. Not knowing that the slave that this person is purchasing is his or her own mother. This woman had given birth. War took place. She's taken as a captive. She's used as a slave. She's been sold as a slave. This child grows up and purchases the slave, not knowing that this is my mother. So in reality, this is, we say, the haqiqi meaning, the literal sense, that a woman has given birth to her own mistress. Because now that mother, who is a slave, she becomes the slave of this daughter of hers. Daughter becomes the mistress, the master. So ulama say there'll be many wars that will take place before Qiyamah. That is the meaning. And there'll be a lot of buying and selling of slaves. And in that buying and selling, there'll be so much of slavery that will take place, a person would not know and realize that who he is purchasing is his own mother. Then some ulama have given the explanation. They say, what this whole hadith meaning is, that there'll be fasadu ahwalin nas. It indicates to the corrupt times of people before Qiyamah. With those who are given honor and respect, or those who should be given honor and respect, the master, he is degraded and denigrated to such a level that he now becomes the slave, and the slave gives him instructions. So there'll be a change, and the slave will now assume the position as a master. Then there are those ulama who said that there is a figurative meaning. And antalid al-amatu rabbataha means there'll be uquq with the ayn of ummahat, where mothers especially and parents will be disobeyed by their children. And they will deal with their parents like how a master deals with his slave. The child will instruct the parent, I want this and I want that, and you don't tell me anything. The day has come in our life, the day has come where parents, or many parents, have no say in the matters of their children. And on a Saturday night, if that daughter wishes to go to any function or any place, whether it be a cinema or shopping mall, or to move around with her friends, their poor father and mother have no say in the matter. And in fact, the father will take the daughter, drive her, and take a ride to that place. And poor parents will wait and look at the clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. This is a haqiqat, a reality. I remember some years back, there was an incident. Allah knows best. I don't know who the person and which family, where the parents were locked up in their room upstairs, because downstairs there was a party taking place And the daughter and the son said, dare you come down and spoil our function and our party. We are busy partying with our friends. And تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. That a child will disobey its parents. This is a sign of Qiyamah. And this has been mentioned separately in other hadith, where one of the signs of Qiyamah is that a child will disobey his parents. Then Rasul says, وَأَنْتَرَ الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّائِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. That you will see. أَنْتَرَ الْحُفَاتَ. People who have no shoes to wear. Bare feet. Urat. Urat actually means naked. What it means, they'll have hardly any clothes to wear. Alata, poor. Ri'a ashai. They will be herdsmen. Shepherds. Poor. No shoes to wear. Hardly any clothing. In an impoverished condition. They were actually shepherds. But the condition will change and they will get so much of dunya and so much of material possession that they will build skyscrapers, yatatawaluna fil bunyan, and they will vie and compete, V-I-E. They will vie and compete with one another in building these huge, huge buildings. And we see this also taking place. People who are bedouins, hardly any clothing, no shoes to wear, and suddenly conditions change, and then they were given prominence, and Allah opened dunya, but then they began to compete, or they have begun competing, and who is building a more higher skyscraper, and a more better building? يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. This is a sign of Qiyamah. Ulama see that those who don't have the ahliyat, those who don't have the knowledge, the capabilities of assuming any position, they will be given that position. And those who deserve that position are not given that position. إِذَا وُسِدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. In all these high, high positions, going society, suddenly he becomes the president, he becomes the prime minister, he becomes the new king, and he becomes the minister there. He's in charge of this huge financial company, and he's in charge of this institution. He has no ahliyat, he's got no knowledge. He doesn't have the qualities that make him deserve that position. When any person is entrusted with such a position, and he is not qabil of that position, Rasulullah says, فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَ. Then await Qiyamah. This is a sign of Qiyamah. May Allah Ta'ala protect all of us. Bas. These were the questions. And the person took leave and he went away. He disappeared. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the narrator of this hadith says, فَلَبِثُ مَلِيًّا. Waited a while. In some narrations, Rasulullah tells Sayyidina Umar, go and look for this person, search for him. He says, I search in the gullies of Medina, but in vain. I come back to Rasulullah, I cannot see him. He disappeared. So quick, he just went away. أَتَدْرِي مَنِسَّى إِلْيَا عُمَرْ. Rasulullah says, do you know who the person was who came and questioned me? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'la. This was the answer that Sayyidina Umar gave. He said, Allah and his Rasul know best. I do not know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it was Jibreel. Atakum yu'allimukum deenakum. He came to teach you your deen. And this was right in the latter part, end part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Jibreel alayhi sallam came, and in this question and answer form, he explained the entire deen to the Sahaba ikram who were present there. And these are the things that we should inculcate and get right. Our Islam, our Iman, this Ihsan that we spoke of. And of course, the level of Ihsan will vary amongst people. The Ihsan Anbiya alayhi wa sallam had was a different level. I mentioned last week, the incident of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Tahajjud. So that level will vary.
And not knowing when Qiyamah will take place doesn't mean we should not prepare. It means we should prepare for Qiyamah. And also ulama mentioned that Rasulullah said, "Mal mas'ulu anha bi'alama min as-sa'il." He did not attempt to give any answer when he had no knowledge. Therefore, he was not feeling shy or embarrassed when he did not know. He says, "I do not know." So any scholar, any alim, if he does not know any answer to any question, and he says, "I'll have to check it up, I do not know," there's nothing wrong in that. He should never try and give some explanation or some answer if he does not have the knowledge, because this will be khiyanat from his side. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, he had thousands of students, thousands. And he would narrate hadith and they would write. And somebody comes one day and he asks one question, Imam Malik rahmatullahi thinks, and he says, "La adri," I do not know the answer. And then a second question, and a third question, and a fourth. 12 questions were posed to him and asked, "O Imam," and Imam Malik was such a great alim, such a great scholar. He says, "La adri, la adri." Ulama say he did not feel embarrassed, because وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ, above every knowledgeable person is somebody else who's got more knowledge. And the person who has all knowledge is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the important thing is to prepare for Qiyamah. And yet these are two or three signs, minor signs that were given. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of bringing deen into our lives. Deen doesn't just come overnight. All of us are in the same boat that is sailing towards Akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us reach our destination with ease and afiyat. These are the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How beautifully it was taught to Sahaba. They pass it on to us. Now these are things we don't just hear once and we forget about. We have to listen to this again and again and try and bring it. And the first step to try and bring the sifat of ihsan is in our salat. Then inshallah in the other ibadat we will try and make. For example, in dhikr, we always say, now we let us ponder and reflect only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remove all other thoughts from our mind. Why? What we're actually doing is bringing the sifat of ihsan in our dhikr. And then when we take the name of Allah, what a different feeling. Different from when we are talking to some person and we're going to tasbih. So we're saying subhanallah and we're talking and we're moving our fingers. And mashallah, so many beads we have finished, but we didn't even make one subhanallah. Why there's no dhyan, there's no concentration. But when we really ponder and we say Allah, 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 it's a different feeling. Because we've got the sifat of ihsan coming into our ibadah. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah.